Welcome to another episode of Transcend Your Health. On today's episode, I interview Heather. So take a listen as she walks us through her journey of losing 100 pounds and how fitness became her passion.
Why the second you hit record, do you laugh? Welcome. And gentlemen, there's only one gentleman. It's probably Mike. Does anyone else listen? Do we have any other male listeners?
My husband does every
once. Oh, so our large male population audience is partners. The men who live with us. So that they can be like, oh, that's what you two are doing.
That's what you two do. All right, what happened today? What was interesting?
Okay, it wasn't interesting. It was more just, well, it was more just because you and I are about the same age. Did you see there was like this whole like thing talking about like the power of each group or whatever, and they completely left out Gen X. So they put like baby boomers, millennials, what is this one called? Z or Y or
Y, yeah.
And then they just left out us Gen X, and they talk about that Gen X has like the least power. Like we're the, like, cause we're the smallest group because the baby boomers are so huge and the millennials are so huge.
Yeah,
like the tiny, tiny group, and we have like no one cares about us or marketing power, which might explain. Just so you, but like it's funny because those are the people I think we both kind of target as our audience of who we like to work with.
Yeah,
so we know they exist, but they literally left them out to the point that like there were, and I don't do Twitter, but I was reading this on like Facebook or whatever. But I was reading the tweets. First off, I'm surprised Twitter's still out there. I feel like people tweet, but. Still apparently going strong. I'm a visual person though, so I don't want to read those little like three things, but people had hysterical tweets talking about like, oh, how they left this whole like little known fact. No one was born between 1973 and 1982 or something, like whatever the like duration of it is, was hysterical. And then like talking about like how Gen X brought things like, it's funny to me, like Gen X being left out because we were the ones who brought, I think
you're frozen. And here we go, audience. It's frozen.
Froze. Like, is this
you're back.
Well, I was thinking about it and I just thought it was funny because our generation is the one that like focused on itself so much. Like all the like, those like the whole experience of teen movies really comes from Gen X, like starting with like Fast Times at Ridgemont High to like the Brat Pack, like all those people, that was us all being obsessed. So we had power at some point, right?
Yeah. That was a great movie, by the way.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I had Mike watch it recently. He is technically a millennial.
Okay. That was a great movie. I remember my brother used to watch it, and I wasn't allowed because of the Phoebe Cates scene. But then I watched it.
When you watch it now, it's like so nothing.
It's so stupid.
I was interested in who Phoebe Cates was. Not Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but who Phoebe Cates was, because Stranger Things, they talk about Phoebe Cates. Do you watch Stranger Things?
No.
I would not expect to love that show, but I do love it.
You would love something stranger.
You know what? I'm scared of all scary anything.
So much.
It's not scary enough, I guess, because I can handle it because it's made for like kids. But it's like they talk on there about who Phoebe Cates is, and he had, you know, younger, he had no idea who Phoebe Cates was, and I was like, well, she's a big deal. I mean, then there's always that thing where like anytime you know who someone is because he's younger, he assumes that like it's from my time period. And I was like, no, I mean, Phoebe Cates is still like about 8 years older than I am. Like I'm a little kid when Phoebe Cates is popular.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, we're the forgotten people. So.
Makes sense. We'll start in my life. Forgotten. Oh shit. All right. Well, let's just get into this. What are you doing?
Now
All right, you guys, so this is where Heather is distracted by her other place of employment.
Yeah, because they're harassing me. I guess he actually said no, and I misread the text, but, like, I'm sick. Like, that's all I want to say. I'm like, hello, I'm sick. Anyway, go ahead, start asking me questions. I hate everyone today. That'll be my first thing. Heather, why do you like to work with people? I don't.
This is the best interview ever.
I like to work with people at all. Please click the link in my bio to sign up to work with me so that I can.
Oh my God. Okay, let's get serious. That's all about Heather today. Give us a backstory about Heather. How she grew up? Where is she from? When did weight gain become an issue?
Birth.
Hate you.
It literally feels like that. Okay, so I'm from Michigan, from like middle Michigan. Mount Pleasant is where I grew up. It's like a tiny town that people only know now because the casinos became a thing and you can gamble there. And then now you can gamble everywhere, basically, so it's not a big deal. But at one point, that's how it became well known. But when I was like on it, so I have a family of chronic dieters, truly.
Is that a thing?
It is. Like, they're always on a diet, and they've tried every diet, and they chronically diet. Like, my mom has tried every diet and read every diet book. My grandmother has, too. Like, I don't ever remember a time in my life not watching them diet or obsess or be on or off their diet.
Wait, so you come from generations of chronic dieters?
Generations of dieters. I wish I was joking, but it's literally true.
Okay. All right. Continue.
So, anyway, so my family, I have a very young mom and then therefore a very young grandma because she wasn't super old when she had my mom. When I was about 8 years old, I guess they decided I was too fat and they put me on a diet. So about eight is when I first started dieting. And it's really messed up because like when I go back and look at pictures and stuff, I'm like a normal looking 8 year old. Like nowadays you see truly like overweight children who have like genuine obesity as right. children. I just looked like probably a child getting ready to go towards puberty. You know, like there was nothing overweight about me. They were able to give me all kinds of psychological weight issues because when you like are put on a diet at like 8 years old,
what kind of diet did they put you on?
I think that, so then also my grandfather's girlfriend, who's his wife now, and they've been together for a long time, she also cared. And I think she came from like this really skinny, you know how like every family has different looks too? Like some families are like super, super skinny kind of looking people. And I think she came from that. So I seemed fat. And I liked food. Like apparently in a world where people worry about weight, if children show any like interest in food, then clearly we need to worry because they're going to have a weight issue. And I did end up having one, but not at that point. The diet they put me on, I can't really remember. I just remember about being like 8 years old and I'm talking about it and like restricting me and it becoming an issue. Like, I don't remember. I remember like enjoying eating things, or my grandmother has like a real binge issue. And like when I was little, like even before eight, like five, six, seven, I know I would go with her and she would like binge and like I would eat with her. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember, like, I don't remember them really obsessing about my weight till about that age. And I will tell you that still to this day, my weight is a topic of conversation for the whole family to enjoy. And it's annoying as hell, honestly. So then after 8 years old, like, I don't remember a break ever in dieting from like eight on. Definitely did like this thing called TOPS. Have you ever heard of TOPS?
No, it's TOPS.
Take off a pound sensibly. It met at the library. I did that with my grandmother and her sister, okay. My great aunt. And then my grandmother was or is still currently like in Weight Watchers, at least at that time. And I mean, they probably like grandfather it in. If you like lose a certain amount and maintain it for a certain time, you're like a forever Weight Watchers person, like you don't have to pay or something, or as long as you're in your goal weight, you don't have to pay. Let's say that. So if you go over it, they make you pay again. They want your money. But okay. And then I did Weight Watchers with her. I did lovely things like the cabbage soup diet with my aunt. You know, do you remember this diet?
Tasty.
So awful. You got like half a cup of vanilla ice cream, like
yeah.
Every day though, I would spend the whole day just thinking about half a cup of vanilla ice cream, you know, and what fat can you really lose in 3 days? Like looking back on it with like my actual knowledge now, it's like all I did was give myself emotional and mental issues regarding food and no actual fat loss.
Yeah.
So there, like after that, it was, God, I don't even remember. I got really into, I did Weight Watchers. I did it for a while. I left. I did whatever book or whatever like thing was popular. So my grandmother did the, it was like the food combining, but it became really popular where like you only ate like fruit or something until like 10 a.m. and you never ate protein with bread. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did it for a while with her. Mm-hmm. This was also the 90s. Then by the time I'm a teenager, it's the 90s, and I did all the fat-free things. So like in high school, I would just like eat under 10 grams of fat a day or something. Like I would have like Lucky Charms with skim milk.
Yeah.
Basically not eat at school because there's nothing that would fit that criteria. I'd drink like a Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. I would just like have, you know, whatever. So this went on for years, and then I gained a shit ton of weight. Like, I had like a crap with my family and stuff. And then I kind of moved out really young before I was like 17, about to turn 17 when I moved out. And then I gained a ton. I was working at Burger King. That was like my first full-time job. And I got just like enormous, and I gained a ton of weight there probably because, and I gained it really, really fast.
Okay.
Which now that I know enough about the science, this makes sense because I was in like deprivation for 10 years all through puberty, like, so when you probably need fat especially the most,
right?
I wasn't in like a maintenance. I was like below and always depriving, if not just, you know, calorically, mentally I felt deprived. Mm-hmm. Always. And then I just gained a ton of weight, and I got married and then divorced, but then with him, like, I kept gaining weight. Like, I was really miserable in that relationship. His mom ate a lot. I just like, I never felt full, you know? Mm-hmm. And then while I was with him, I tried Weight Watchers. I did Jenny Craig. What else did I do? All kinds of shit just for years. It wasn't until like into my 20s that I finally actually lost weight and started doing things. And I had phases like, during the teen sugar-free year or fat-free years, not sugar-free, got to enjoy sugar. What was the Snackwells? Remember those things?
Yes.
Yeah, I ate like a lot of Snackwells. my life was like sugar cereal and Snackwells. Because everything else has fat. And if you're trying to keep fat off, you can't have much really, you know? So then I did, I would exercise too. Like I liked exercise to a level. So like early on, I did like the Jane Fonda stuff.
Yeah, you did.
So much Jane Fonda, I know. and then I did like, all the supermodels had exercise videos.
Yeah.
Like Cindy Crawford had her one with Vlad. And would,
yeah.
And then who was the other one? The blonde one. Who was super popular. That she's also like at that time, all the supermodels were also like Victoria's Secret models. So it was like, that was the thing then.
Taylor. Did she have one?
No, it's the like one who's like from the Czech Republic. She's like completely disappeared now. It's not like Paulina Porchakova. She's older. This one is like, I can't remember her name. It'll come back to me. Anyway, she had a series of videos. I did any of those exercise videos, right? Right. And then I got like a little more hardcore, and I would do like the Firm. Do you remember the Firm?
I like the Firm. I did the Firm and Gilad.
I honestly think that the Firm of all of them is probably the best because like you had actual like resistance, like actual weight, although it's probably like 3 pounds, but
yeah,
maybe 6. And they love to use like a step and destroy your butt in it. And then that was kind of it, like into like adulthood. And then it just kind of like stayed with me. And then in adulthood, I would like go in and out of exercise and dieting. And like, you know, I gained a ton of weight, and I held on to it for a while. And it was just like, it was always a huge issue for me. You know, like I remember one time I had come, cause I moved like right when I graduated college, I moved to New York, and I come back to Michigan to visit my mom, and there's a job I wanted that I didn't get. And she was like, do you think they didn't hire you because you're too fat?
Stop it.
Not kidding.
Wow.
She would not remember this, I swear to you.
Yeah.
But she 100% said that. And that's just how they were. Like, I remember like going to see my grandfather and like his wife, and then she, like, I could see her saying to him, oh, she looks like she's lost weight. Like, people put so much emphasis on my physicality.
Is that a word?
What?
Is that a word?
I mean, it is now. What was the other thing that I said? Chronic dieters? I'm just full of.
You're so full of them. I have a question though. So, because that was a lot of information for me to process. That was like your whole life. First of all,
that was only till 21.
Birth at 21. 21 years. I did not know you were married. So that's new. That's good info. So going back, so these first 21 years that you just word vomited all over me.
Yeah.
Do you find that you have a mental or emotional attachment still with food?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, for sure.
What does that look like for you?
Well, I mean, it's changed. Like, it's evolved and it's gotten healthier as I've learned stuff and dealt with my own issues and as I deal with other people. But it's sure, like, I still feel like I work really hard not to do things like feel guilt or use emotional eating or find my value based on the weight on the scale, you know. Or here's something that actually is helpful: aging.
Really?
It's weird, because when, as you age, I think you want to be considered attractive and you care, but you just become very aware that society does not value you and your peers in that same exact way anymore. And it does lessen the stress of it. Truly, I believe that. Because, like, in my 20s, my friends were, like, looked at, or it was a big deal, or it was upset. Now it's just, like, I don't know. It loses some of that. And some of that can be sad and hard, too, in its own way, right? Because you realize, like, I'm old. No one's like they're looking at you and they're saying, this is the wonderful compliment. You look so good for your age.
Oh yeah.
Which is an insult. You either look good or you look like shit, but like your age.
For your age, you look amazing for your age.
But like if you were 25, you look like crap. Right.
But for 44, you look amazing.
Wow.
Supermodel. Right. So do you think, so you do struggle with emotional and mental side with food. Do you feel like you have a struggle with what you said, like your mom, like the comment she made and how weight's always been hot topic in your family? Do you feel like somewhere in the recesses of your mind that your weight does affect some of whatever it is that you want to do? Like, what did she say? Did you not get the job because you were fat? Not that you don't have a job because you're fat or not fat, but do you feel like in the back of your head, like those things run through your mind because of what?
Certainly, especially now that like I do work, like working in fitness, it's such a physique dominant job, right? So it's hard to, you always wonder like, oh, well, if I was like leaner, or if I had more muscle, or if I had whatever, would I have more clients? Would people want to work with me more?
But do you think that, so, and I agree, that's something that I've always dealt with as well. In the back of my mind, like, if I just lost 15 more pounds, I'll have more clients.
Yeah, all the clients would flock to me.
Yeah, or maybe if I did a show and whatever. But do you, I'm assuming, actually I know you do, but your belief of being able to serve people based off of your experience, your knowledge, and the way that you live your lifestyle is more beneficial?
Oh, I think so. And I also think like the fact that I'm real and actually like you and I go eat tacos, right? And we're honest, like we want tacos, we're going to eat tacos.
Yeah.
Or we have the thing. We don't just go crazy and eat all the food all the time. Mm-hmm. But we live our lives. I think that that's actually more appealing to people, because though they might look at the like person who's, you know, quote unquote perfect or whatever and feel like, you know, they look amazing, that person is making a ton of sacrifices to maintain such a lean body mass and to have that kind of physique. And the reality is like, that's probably no fun for their partner because they probably don't ever want to go out to eat or don't share the dessert or are always like stressing and having to have the thing. But also people don't as much as like fantasy, they want to look like that. In reality, they don't. They just want to be healthier. They don't want to be obese anymore. They just want to like feel better during their day. And that as much as I'm like mentioned being older, I feel I am physically stronger and healthier. And honest to God, I actually look better now in my 40s than I ever have. You know, what?
When you say that?
Oh, I know it because like it took me to this point to like, well, and I don't even just mean body weight, but like strength wise,
yeah.
Just how I feel, how I feel physically. Like I had in, you know, in my early 30s, because that's about when I started losing weight and like just getting into health. I had like back problems and high blood pressure when I would go in, all these things that I have no problems with now, like blood, you know, like all the like blood lipid things and stuff. I have nothing. Like if I go in, I'm like 100% healthy. Like they don't. And to the point, like, you know, I lost over 100 pounds. I always have to tell like the doctors, right? And they all, the assumption is like, oh, did you do something like the lap band or the whatever? And I'm always like, no, I didn't. I just did it on my own. And they're fascinated about that. What?
How long did it take you to lose those 100 pounds?
Seven weeks. No, 7 years, maybe. 7 years, maybe, honestly, truly.
Okay.
So basically, like I made.
7 years of like, 7 years of.
No, nonstop work, no.
Okay.
It was hard. I was like, you lose, I think. This is such a large amount. I guess I could have, I feel like because it took me so long to lose it is why I truly have maintained it. Like I've found like a set point. And granted, I would like my set point to be lower. And I am like personally, like one of my goals is to like lower it, not ridiculously, but you know, from where I'm at. But when I look at like my Fitness Pal and I look at the weight from like 7 years ago, it's within 5 pounds, right? So I've maintained it. But I think because it took me, it was such gradual change. I think that's why I've maintained it, because I would lose 20 or 30 and then I would maintain that. And then I would lose 30 and I would maintain that. So it meant I was always making like true lifestyle changes and just changing how I dealt with stuff, which is why I am an extremely rare person who lost and maintained 100 pounds. People lose 100 pounds all the time, really, but they don't maintain it because they did it in like, I don't know, 8 months or whatever kind of time, or a year, or maybe even like 14 months. But that meant that they've just been dieting for the entire time. And it's like the second they hit their goal weight, they're like back up to all their old behaviors, you know? And so, I mean, as much as like I was dieting my whole childhood, I'm not really dieting at this point. Do you know what I mean? Like I don't diet in that same way. I could, but I have no desire to be like eating 1200 calories and like, I just don't.
It's not fun. That's not fun.
No, it's not fun, is it?
We would not get tacos together.
We would not. I would miss tacos.
So you said set point. What's your viewpoint on set point? Do you feel like you have a set point?
I think that you have multiple set points and you get to them and you maintain them, right? So, I mean, and from what I've read scientifically, that seems to be the case. I actually personally believe one of the reasons why my weight isn't lower right now, that like, I don't know, I think I'd like to be about 20 pounds less and then I'd be good, like set, is because this has become my like new set point. Now it wasn't for years, you know, but if, when I look at it, basically I've gone 10 pounds below and maybe 5 pounds over where I'm at right now, back and forth without like strict work. Like it wasn't like I'm aggressively trying for about 7 years. So I would say that's pretty much a set point. Like, and of course I have times where I'm eating a little more or times when I'm eating a little less or doing whatever. But I do believe that like it does become hard. Like it does take some work to move from this point to the next one, but I think set points can change.
Okay.
I do. Are you familiar with Stephanie Buttermore?
Yeah, we talked about her a couple times.
Have we? I forget everything. Yeah. So you know how she's doing her all-in thing, right?
Aren't you doing something with her? Or you sent me something?
Maybe I sent you something. Did you read it? Whoever knows. Here's the thing, world, about Erin. You send her a bunch of messages. You text her. You communicate through 17 forms of media. You never know what gets through. She responds, and so you kind of know, but then she might forget.
This is an interview about you.
She never responds, and then you just find out later, she's like, yeah, I read that. And you think, well, you didn't acknowledge that I sent it to you, so how did I know?
You did email me that because I downloaded her whole workout.
Right. So did you look at any of her like YouTube stuff though about her? Okay. So this woman, Stephanie Buttermore, who I actually find pretty interesting.
After you tell me this, I have more questions.
Okay. This is related to set point.
Okay.
She has done like bikini modeling, which straight up, I think you and I can both say is we would never ever recommend that to anyone.
No.
Unhealthy. And it's not a healthy body weight and it's awful. So anyway, she did that kind of stuff. She dieted down. She kind of got well known for doing some of these like going off the rail eating days where she'd eat like 14,000 calories or something. She was chronically hungry. I guess I just really relate to her because I've had a lifetime of dieting, right? So I really relate to the concept. And she just was like chronically hungry and obsessed and she couldn't handle it anymore. She was just like, I'm tired of like thinking about food all the time. So she did what she called all in and she just quit dieting, right? And she just started eating until she was full. So in the beginning, she was eating like 7,000-8,000 calories a day, like eating and eating and eating. And then she gained about 30 pounds. Although, honest to God, this girl still looks phenomenal. I mean, she trains and she was clearly really low in weight because she looks fantastic. And she talks about like her mental issues with gaining all this weight and how. But you can see, like, if you watch her YouTube, she sort of stopped. Like, and she says it. She's like, I'm not hungry like that anymore. I don't obsess about food. I go out to eat, and I get donuts, and I don't want 6 donuts. I'm really genuinely okay with 1 donut, or even, like, a bite of 3 different donuts, and I'm good. Mm-hmm. And she talks about set point, and her study, her, like, science, so she's got a PhD. Like, her research and her stuff that she talks about is, like, the research with set point says that your body has these different set points. And when you go over them, as long as you don't keep pushing that, like, and like, there's a difference between binge eating and eating to satiation that you kind of balance down and your body will self-regulate. I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens with her over time, but I do find it really interesting. And I do think for years I struggled with either never feeling full or never feeling knowing if I was hungry, like both. Like my ghrelin and my leptin were just completely messed up. And even to this day, I'm still working at like getting that back, you know? So do I believe in set point? Yes. I also know like from what they've proven is that you can create different set points, though I don't think you can create a truly lower than ideal for your body set point. Do I think like a woman at 14% body fat set point? No.
Right.
I don't think so. I think that that's probably just that's dieting, you know? But probably somewhere that keeps women around 20% body fat, between 20 and 25. I think that's probably a set, like a set point ranges exist in there, you know? What do you think?
Well, now that, you know, listening to that and having different set points, I agree. I mean, because I was at one point, had a set point of like 150 range. Mm-hmm. And then I had a set point of 160 range, and now I'm at a set point of 170 range.
It's just that every 10-year range. You know how it is.
It is, pretty much, because, yeah, my 150 range, I was, like, 20s.
Right. But the truth is, like, if you got to 150 and you were, like, living, like, you were able to eat normal amount of calories a day, like, 20, let's say 22 to
20. I wasn't healthy. When I was at my 150 set point, I was, like.
Well, your real set point is probably more than the 160. Yeah. And that makes sense.
Which is what I'm trying to get back to.
Right. But then the saying would be that, like, so you've been at the current weight for a while, right? About within the range, is that you will struggle with to create a new, that new set point for a while because it's going to want to go back.
Right.
I mean, the bodies are just really smart and also really lazy. Like the safer system for the body is to be a little heavier.
Well, and it's like, who said it? Ed Milet. It's like a thermostat, right? When the temperature gets to have your set point for the air conditioner, and then if it gets too hot, it kicks in. When it gets just right, it goes off. So the body kind of does the same thing. It's like right now it's set at 170. once I start get to below that set point, it's like, whoa, why don't we just go back to 170? That's where we're comfortable. I don't know. It's not about me. It's about you today.
Oh, I'm sorry. Isn't it the Erin Avery podcast or something?
It's Transcend Your Health, so.
Erin Avery show.
No.
Yeah, but all they feel is the connection with you. They're like, I want this hour with Erin every week.
All right. How did you get into, what was your pivotal moment of saying, I want to be a fitness professional, inspiration, coach, trainer?
Inspiration. It started, I didn't want to. Here's the thing. Like, I accidentally ended up in it. So I was doing booty yoga, and I really liked booty.
Yeah.
And a training was coming near me. And I was actually always the person, probably because I was like so uncomfortable in my body for so many years. I never wanted to stand like at the front. Sometimes even to this day, I'm amazed that I do what I do, which is like, I never wanted to stand in front of the room and like do a talk about anything, or, you know, in classes and shit, when you would have to, like, I hated it. Like, the 5 minutes, I almost died. Which now, right now, I could stand up in a room full of people and, like, not even care, because mm-hmm. I've done it in my, like, bra. So, you know, well, sports bra. So, you know, I did booty, and I took the certification only because I wanted, like, more knowledge, and it sounded fun. And then I really had a good time. And then, like, that was, like, one of the most stressful things to me ever was, like, the demo for this certification, because you had to stand up in front of the room and, like, all these people are there and you're, like, demoing this thing and it's, like, so hard. And then, you know, somebody asked me to teach a class and it just became something I did. And then I really liked it. Like, I really liked how I felt, like, making connections with people, with people in my classes. And I like doing it, and it was fun for me. And that's kind of how I first got into fitness. And then there were times when I was like, I can't, like, I remember the first time I taught at OU, I came in and I did not expect this. I had like, I think I had 32 people in there that day. And I was like, oh my God, like, I gotta be like in front of these people, like all these, like me, you know, like older, and then all these like 20-year-olds, and I'm going to now like stand in front of them. And, you know, it just ended up becoming so good for me, like, because I enjoyed feeling like I was, like, making a connection with people, and especially encouraging the people, not the people who, of course, were there, right? Like, good shape, does everything, looks great. No, it was the people who kind of didn't want to be there, were scared to be there. Yeah. You could tell they weren't confident. They felt, those were the people, like, that's why I wanted to be there. Like, I wanted to be there to like connect with them, basically be like, I'm you, like, I feel you, like, you're seen, and like, it's okay.
Yeah.
And also just for everyone else to be like, get over yourself, like, in a way, like, we all have to get over ourselves because we've become so self-obsessed. And then I went into personal training and working like with health coaching and nutrition coaching and weight loss and stuff from there, just because you can't in a group fitness setting make any one-on-one connections, really, you know, you can't help guide people. Yeah. And I just wanted to like, actually, I wanted to realistically help people, right? Because the thing is like, you see all these like diets and things like that, and it's always like life changing for 6 weeks or 2 months or whatever, but it's extreme restricting,
mm-hmm.
or like an extreme workout, but it's not real, like what people are going to do for the rest of their lives. And that's what I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to like actually help people make lasting changes. Why are you laughing at me? You're making me paranoid.
I'm not laughing at you. She's
like, there are no lasting changes. That'll put us out of a job.
I know. I was gonna say lasting changes. Hell no. No, I like that. I like that. So you're currently personal training. Where do you see your fitness journey, and where do you see your fitness journey going and transforming into?
You mean my personal journey or is my work as like a coach?
Both.
Oh, look at you.
Oh.
Well, I've really moved away from yoga.
Yeah, yeah.
because I really liked Booty, but it doesn't, that whole place kind of blew up in its own way. So personally, I'm trying to I want to just kind of work on my own practicing what I preach, which is like living your life, being comfortable in your skin and getting a maintainable physique, you know, something that's not too extreme, and accepting that there's that little bit of, you know, sometimes you're going to be a little bigger, sometimes you're going to be a little smaller. It's time of life, you know, it depends on what's going on. But like, I really personally just want to keep growing in my own, like moving away from things like good or bad days or good food or bad food or any of those things. I've gotten pretty good at it, but those things, when you're talking about 30 years, yeah, they become pretty rooted in your brain. And then as far as my job as a coach, I mean, I do in-person coaching, but my goal really is to end up building, like working with people through online coaching more, just so I can have more contact, but also so I can reach more people, especially people that can't maybe afford the same price point that you would spend inside the gym, right? Because, and honestly, my personal journey has often been at home working out. Like, from, like, as much as I enjoy going to the gym and I go to the gym, that my fallback still to this day of where I prefer to work out is my home. And I always did. I did those Jane Fondas and those things at home. And then Booty, I really started as an online video thing. And then I found it in person. And so I did both, but I did the whole time I would do stuff in home. And to this day, I like to work out in home. So kind of bringing it to people who want, like, as much as, like, the gym is great and I want people, women, to feel comfortable in the gym and feel comfortable in the weight area.
Right.
That's part where in-person training is very helpful, because you help. But then a lot of times I notice they just feel comfortable there with me.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not there, are they going into those areas, or are they doing it, or are they just back on the treadmill? Right. So, and I think a lot of women's lives are like, they're busy, and when you're at home and you have a good home workout, there's no excuse.
Yeah.
You can fit it in, you know? So kind of interested in that.
Well, that's insight that I did not know.
Well, you should have asked, Erin.
I did. That's why this interview's all about you.
Everything's about me.
Everything's about you.
My like dream goal for my home would be to have a really nice home gym.
Oh, same.
Like, I don't need to be in the gym and see all the people. Like, I'm not doing it for that. I think when you're young, when you're like 20, it's a great way to like go and look at people. But all I think is get out of my way, people.
You know, let me get on this equipment. You're taking up space.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's been a very good all about Heather today.
Well, thank you. I have enjoyed talking all about
it. I enjoyed this. I did. I learned some things.
Well, there you go.
All right, you guys. All about Heather. You want to find out more about her? Contact her.
Stalk my social media.
Stalk her socials.
Ask us questions in general. No one's giving us questions. We're going to keep this. This is what you guys are doing. By not asking us questions, you mean that I am dictating the topics.
This is true, folks. If you want a topic, please write in. Let us know.
Just keep deciding.
Because Heather will just keep deciding. All right, you guys. Bye.
All right, you guys. That is the end of this episode. As always, thank you for listening. And please, if this resonated with you, please share this on your social media. If you have any questions, or if you have any ideas that you would like for us to talk about on the podcast, please send them to erinaveryfitness@gmail.com so that we can answer your questions and talk about the things that are